You see link I sent you.
Hold on. Well, again, I don't have my double laptop set up, so I have to use my phone. And
so I'll talk about I'll talk about DMSO while you do that.
Yeah, what is that?
DMSO is a substance that's made from distilling wood. It's organic, and it's you can buy it on Amazon. Get the pharmaceutical version. I guess I should say what it is. So it's basically an anti-inflammatory, topical, anti-pain, anti-swelling thing. It's a clear liquid, although when you get it, sometimes it looks crystallized because if it's melting temperature is like 67 degrees Fahrenheit. So if it was cold at any point in the storage or when it was shipped and it's not extremely hot where you are, you have to just run it under water until it warms up. It's pretty cheap. It's like $12 for a, you know, what is the size of the bottle? Something like, you know, it's about $1 an ounce, something like that. And you wash the skin, the part of your body that's sore, wash it first, because DMSO has a really weird aspect of it that it carries any chemicals with it up to a certain atomic weight into your bloodstream. So like, you know, if you're really salty and you put this on your arm, you'll be like injecting salt. So don't do that.
Sweet.
Abbie Hoffman and the Dead Kennedys, actually. Dead Kennedys had a song about it, and Abbie Hoffman in Steal This Book talked about saying that they were going to do it. I don't know if they actually did this, but that they were going to mix it with LSD and put it on cop car door handles at the, what was that, the Democratic Convention in 1969? I don't know if they actually did it, but that's not what you should use it for. You should use it for inflammation. If you're cranky, if you're getting old and everything's cranky, then get it, use it. This is not a paid ad. This is just, you know, news you can use while Jeremy pulls up his history on computer.
I tried to pull it up, but I get a message that says my browser is no longer supported.
Wow.
And it tells me I should update my browser, but I'm using Firefox, and it's like, and I have the most updated version of Firefox, and it's telling me, you know, it says you know, I can download Chrome, Internet Explorer, or Firefox, and I'm like, but I'm using Firefox, and I have the most updated version.
Okay.
Well, it's probably because I'm on my phone, you know.
They just want you to reboot your router. It's a scam. Don't do it.
I'm not, like I said, I mean, again, that was something else, you know, talking earlier about the intro and how I haven't got one right since we got off the radio until today. one of the other habits that I got into that, you know, always rebooting the router an hour before the show.
Yeah.
My mining rig started to get the warnings that they wanted to update the Windows on that one.
Yeah.
So I was trying to avoid that. So I haven't rebooted the router in like a week, and even if they do it now, I mean, if they do it right now, obviously we'd get cut off.
That's another theory I had, was that maybe after the reboot, the Windows, after the update, maybe the reason you're having problems with your mining rig, your cryptocurrency mining rig, which is, for people that don't know, just Google it. I'm so tired of explaining what cryptocurrency is. I mean, we've been doing this for like 7 years, and I know that, you know, Free Talk Live, God bless them, they still do it every day as if they're full of lust for life and telling a newbie about it. And that's good. Someone's got to do it. But if you don't know what Bitcoin is by this point, Google it. Google mining Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. So I'm wondering if like Microsoft is kind of like in their update, if they changed their attitude on some things and rolled them out in this update. And like they look at mining as a problem now and try to stop you from doing it.
Well, I mean, that's been an issue since the last update, where they most things having anything to do with
show
mining
get blocked virus
automatically.
Well, yeah, they show up as a virus because there are viruses that all they do is use your computer power and mine and send the coin to somebody else. But I think that's kind of overkill to just make it so. So I don't know. They're just so creepy. Just everyone wants to keep you in a pen.
It does kind of.
Everyone wants to keep you in a pen, in a walled garden, and control the rules. And they don't want the internet to be free. None of these companies do. None of them. They're all horrific.
I'm not denying that. That's a definite possibility, and maybe even a strong one. However, I will say that it seems to be, at least with the microphone issue that you had, I know for the fact the webcam issue that I had and the problem I had with my GPUs were all driver related.
Yeah. Well, there's often driver problems with an update of an operating system, even on Linux. I mean, that's not uncommon anywhere. But there were so many of them in this. It's, well, you know, there was a thing that Steve Ballmer, the co-founder of Microsoft, said about 30 years ago or 25 years ago, was that Microsoft rolls out everything in beta and it gets it right by, you know, version X.1 or whatever, or version 3, I think he said. And that was like Windows was like that. Like Windows didn't really work until 3.1. And then they had a bunch of updates. But yeah, I wonder. They're just trying to.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I think they want to take over everything. I don't know if it's mining specific. I think the fact that affected it so much. Like I'm not denying the fact that
Microsoft
affected so much.
Microsoft very much complies with governments even without being forced to. That's a problem I have with them. And a lot of these big companies will turn in. For instance, will turn information requested, private information requested by law enforcement over to law enforcement without even demanding, you know, a warrant. I mean, in some cases for something big, and if it's a lot of hassle for the company, they usually demand a warrant. Or if there's a law that they have to do it, they demand a warrant. But if it's like, you know,
if it's going to affect them personally.
Yeah, yeah. But if it's like, you know, tell us if this guy's phone was in town or out of town, you know, last Thursday afternoon, they'll often tell them. And anybody, like, think about that. Like a cop can just call up and do that about his, you know, his kid or his wife or his girlfriend, like abusing his power. Like that's one reason. I mean, warrants are pretty much rubber stamped anyway in a lot of cases, but at least they make a paper record, unless they're the secret kind of warrants the federal government uses after the Patriot Act, the so-called Patriot Act, or as we call it, the Arrest All the Patriot Acts, Arrest All the Patriots Act. That's what I called it back when I was a minarchist.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So anyway, I didn't say what this map was, this link I sent you that you couldn't view.
Oh yeah, hold on. I'm going to see if it works.
And I do believe that Microsoft wants you on mobile. I mean, Windows 8, the failed one between 7 that worked and 10 that sort of works. The 8 was like, it was, the idea of it was that it looked the same on mobile and on desktop and on laptop. It was like they were sick of making separate versions. So they made one version that would run on all three. And it was like Windows suddenly looked like a tablet. Like the desktop version looked like a tablet. And you had to change a bunch of things. There was actually like a $5 app you could buy that just, it was called like Make Windows 8 Look Like Windows 7. And it was like five. I actually bought it.
Mm. All right. Well, now I was able to pull it up and I don't see much of anything.
Really? It's because you have your location off.
Yeah, it says I'm there.
Yeah,
which I
so
do.
So I have a location history on. Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say it doesn't really put me anywhere. Well, if it was gonna, I guess it was gonna put me on the map. If I'm supposed to be somewhere in the middle, I'm somewhere in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, that's well, the Pacific Ocean. So is it showing like somewhere kind of near the east coast of Africa, near the equator? That's the default for a lot of things. When like if there's no location.
No the middle of the map.
Oh, okay.
Is pointed at like closer to the Australia side, but near the middle of the Pacific Ocean between South America and Australia.
So the default. I used to really wonder when I had location history tracking on my. On my websites, you know, I could see not who was looking at them, but where they were looking at them from and like which page. I still have that. But I used to have ones that displayed a map. I don't bother with that anymore because it actually uses processing power and slows down your website on the server end. But I used to get all these hits from the middle, from the ocean, from this spot that's like right off of the east coast of Africa at the equator. And what I finally found out was that's like 0 degrees latitude and 0 degrees longitude. It's the default for everything until you set it. You know, gotcha. It's just 0, 0. So, yeah. But what I'm looking at is a list of everywhere I've been in the past year. It's really creepy. Like every store, every doctor's office, every store. That's where all I go, stores and doctor's offices. But, you know, a few other places. And I looked at this for my wife and it was like, you know, work home, Walmart, work home, doctor's office, work home. And then like, you know, going to see her mother, flying to see her, you know, there'd be all these like dots around that town and then, you know, several states away and then back. It's really weird. It's creepy.
Yeah. That's why I turn all that stuff off if I can.
Yep. I'm turning it off right now.
I don't. Like I said, other than the fact that two of my most favoritest apps ever, Self-401 and Waze.
So what is Waze? That's for avoiding the man, right? When you're driving.
Well, that's one of the functions of it. It gives you turn by turn directions and gives you little maps and all that stuff, and it also provides information like where the cops are hiding, but also people, and it's decentralized to the extent that the people who are driving are the one who input the information, and then other people following behind them can verify it and whatnot if they're actually putting out good information.
What keeps the cops from getting all together and giving false info?
They tried to. They've been caught doing that a couple of times, and it's just they end up getting busted, and then people like the cop blockers and groups like that, they just find other ways to catch them anyway, and I think they eventually gave up, because as far as I still use it, and I know plenty of other people still do. The cops gave up. Yeah, it wasn't worth it anymore for them, because it was too much of a hassle.
That's a good way to look at things in the world of. Make things too expensive for people, not necessarily in money,
time, energy, whatever,
That's kind of interesting. It kind of pertains to cryptocurrencies. See, I'm just sick of defining what cryptocurrencies are. I'm going to assume that people know by now, and if they don't, they could Google it. All right. So cryptocurrencies, one of the things that exists that had to exist before Bitcoin existed was something called, was the idea of mining, of having to do to work to solve prime number problems with your computer to earn the pay or to earn the Bitcoin, which is the way mining works, with proof of work coins, which were most of them. Well, it's kind of changing now to where it's more proof of stake, which is basically the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, but it doesn't take a lot of power, doesn't use more power than a small city or a large city. But it was something, it was an anti-spam mechanism called Hashcash. And no, that's not the money you used to buy your drugs at the dispensary. Hashcash was a mechanism that someone created as an anti-spam thing. So where if you use this system, it never really caught on, but it was included in how Bitcoin mining works and thus most mining. So basically the idea was the computational problems that are solved in mining and in Hashcash are hard to solve but easy to confirm. Like, it's expensive to mine Bitcoin. It takes a lot of power, but it costs almost no electricity and processing power to confirm, yes, this is real Bitcoin that's not double spending. So it's kind of a brilliant mechanism and algorithm that does that. And what Hashcash was you had your computer would have to do a tiny bit of work to send an email to somebody in the Hashcash system, but it wouldn't take any work for their computer to receive it any more than a normal email to verify it was securely done with Hashcash. And it would, so it would basically become too expensive to spam people. Like it wouldn't cost noticeably anything to send the, 30 to 100 emails I send a day, it probably cost you a penny's worth of electricity or something, but to send hundreds of thousands would cost, thousands of dollars. So it's kind of a brilliant idea that never really caught on, but the idea was rolled into Bitcoin, and it's basically what mining is.
Ah, see, I did not know that. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. See, I've been mining for like 6 months at this point, I'm still pretty much a noob. I never really learned much more than what I needed to do in order to build my own rig and get it up and running and finally get it stable and then let it go for, months on end.
Yep.
Mining Monero and Sumo Coin and Electronium and like I said, I had to stop today. I mean, I was going to have to stop tomorrow anyway, obviously. Like, I was planning on running it till the very end.
You stopped so you could do the show. See, you're losing money to do the show.
Well, no, I actually finally got around that by originally I had moved the miner up to my bedroom.
Oh, because, keep you warm especially, in the summer?
Well, yeah. And in the winter, it kept me warm. Yeah. I didn't have to turn the heat on because my bedroom was one of the coldest rooms in the house.
Isn't it loud, though? Isn't it too loud to sleep in the same room with it?
It used to drive Jen nuts. It took her a long time to get used to it. And then, And she, you know, I right away, because I can sleep, like I can fall asleep through just about anything. Staying asleep sometimes is a different matter, but fall, like sound, it doesn't matter. As long as it's a continuous, you know, it's just, it's, you know, it's the constant whir of the thing.
I'm the other way around, by the way. I fall asleep. Yeah, really? Wait, what do you do?
You fall asleep. I like to fall asleep to sounds. I can fall asleep pretty much anywhere. I can fall asleep anywhere,
but you can't stay asleep.
And it doesn't matter what's going on. Yeah, not necessarily. Well, sometimes I can stay asleep,
but sometimes it takes me a while. You know, so actually, like yesterday, I did this. I was like, I went to bed. You know, I'd slept like 6 hours the night before, which isn't enough, but it's not so little that I'm like, I am so tired. That's a running joke in our house. I am so tired, because when we moved to Wyoming from California, we rented, we didn't go with a moving company. We rented like a 32-foot U-Haul, and we paid people on that end to load it and this end to unload it. But we basically drove here. We stopped two nights or one night. We had to find like pet friendly, and we smoked back then, like cigarette friendly, pet friendly hotels, which basically means you're staying in the worst, crappiest, scariest meth hotels, you know, where people can live with their dogs and their meth and their pets. But like scary, like, you know, we slept with one eye open in the
place that definitely has an hourly rate.
Yeah. And, you know, we slept in shifts so we could watch our life, everything we owned in the truck, and sit there in the dark and smoke cigarettes, you know, with a gun on the table, looking out the window while the other person slept. And, but yeah, when we got here, my wife was so tired and so like just nerve wracked from driving that thing. She wouldn't let me drive. I'm not a great driver. I mean, she would have let me drive, but you know, she drives me. It's great. It's like a chauffeur, but she drove the whole way, and she was just like so nerve wracked when she got here. She was too tired to sleep. I said, "You okay?" And she's like, "I am so tired." And it was like real, like horror. Yeah. You know, it was not funny at the time, but now we laugh about it. It's kind of a running joke of whenever one of us is very slightly tired, we're just like, "I am so tired." And yeah,
it's funny.
So the web address, did I give out the web address for checking your location history on Google?
I don't believe so. No.
It's google.com/maps/timeline. That's google.com/maps/timeline.
The central scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Now that you read the URL, I now remembered that it must have been a couple of years ago, something got floated around about, Google, check out what Google is able to learn about you. And this is how you avoid it. And I was like, I looked into it. I was like, I just got to turn my thing off. And I did. So that's why my location is now turned off, because I learned about this a while ago, I guess.
I'm not going to say I have nothing to hide, you know, but I have nothing to hide. But it's also I have nothing to hide, and I don't want to be spied on. But it's kind of a trade off, because there are so many neat things that that having the location on does. It kind of enables all of the cool features. You know, there's a book called Future Shock written in 1970. You ever seen that book? I'm sure you've heard the term.
No. Yeah, I've heard the term, but
the term comes from that book, and it's a really dry book, but I recommend reading it, and you can get it used on Amazon for like, you know, 12 cents plus 50 cents shipping probably. It's a thick paperback book, and it was kind of like it might have been a doctoral thesis, I'm not sure, but it kind of reads like one. It's very academic, but it's prediction, and this is when computers were, you know, took up a whole room. And the way computers worked in 1970 was you wrote down what you wanted. Scientists typed up a program to give you the information. They brought it, you know, somebody punched it into punch cards. And then at night, while everyone was asleep and they were running jobs, they would just run your punch cards through the computer, and it would spit out a long piece of paper, you know, segmented paper that had your answer in numeric form. And then you'd have to have a scientist interpret what that data meant. Like, computers were not user friendly back then. And it's a very prescient novel of predicting where computers are headed. I was kind of blown away by it. I mean, it basically predicts things like, I mean, it says something like, you know, in your home, you will have a computer terminal that will connect to a larger computer terminal over your telephone line somewhere else. This is way before the World Wide Web and before anybody was on the internet except the Army and a few colleges. And, you know, they said this computer terminal will have, you'll be able to shop on it, and you'll be able to, you know, pay your bills on it, and you'll be able to get recipes on it and find out, you know, who won the ball game, and, you know, all these really square things that are like, you know, the basics of every site now. It's like every site has that and then like 50,000 million other things. But one of the things they said that I thought was kind of interesting was they said there'd be something called Oliver, and it was an acronym for something, but it was like a personal electronic butler, but, you know, not one that walks around, but one that appears magically on your computer screen. And Oliver will over time learn more and more and more about your shopping habits and the things you like to watch on TV and the things you like to wear and what your sizes are. And eventually it'll be able to intelligently make suggestions of things that you'd actually really like and you'll appreciate it. And it's like, that's what everything does now, you know, and part of it's having your location history on.
I'll pass on Oliver. Thanks. Yeah,
thanks, Oliver. No.
Yeah. Bad Oliver.
That'd be a really funny name for this episode, because I used to have a roommate named Oliver that I had a falling out with.
Nice. Yeah,
I should say. He's got a Wikipedia page he made himself. His name's Oliver Arms. His last name is Arms, A-R-M-S. And he has a Wikipedia page that's all been edited by one user in San Francisco named West German Colonel. And I know it's him because he's very fascinated with World War II. So there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Kind of like Janiel Schumann.
No, Janiel Schumann has actually done a lot more than Oliver Arms. Is an artist who throws paint off a can.
I just meant editing your own page.
Oh, yeah. Although nobody contests Oliver Arms' page because it's a page no one cares about, whereas Janiel Schulman edited pages about agorism, which a lot of people care about. Wow. Oliver's only edited the Oliver Arms page. So leave him. Let him play in his little sandbox. It's all good. So tell us about your many problems.
Oh, I don't even know where to begin.
Well, where to begin? Yeah. So real quickly, to catch people up, what happened? Why are you in trouble? Oh,
do we have to go through? Like, every time,
I can do it quick.
We do a show every 2 months, and we always have to start with this.
Well,
we get in this conversation.
You know, in 7 years, it'll be like Bitcoin. We'll just say, hey, if you don't know what happened to Jeremy, Google it. And you'll find his in memorial.
Anyway,
page.
The briefs.
Did you hear that?
I try to ignore it.
You don't like having to wait for. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, the brief synopsis is last year.
I could do briefer.
I made a viral post because I was mad about getting stuck and being delayed for getting dogs out of their house to pee.
Missing something too. You're a dog walker.
I used to be a dog walker. Okay. I used to have a pet sitting company, and I. Whatchamacallit. I was delayed for the funeral of a firefighter, and I made a post not directed at the firefighter, but directed at just the fact that people who work for the government get this special treatment, and it's insane. And I used the word parasites, which I've used plenty of times before, plenty of other people I used before, but it happened viral, and people got really mad, and I had my life threatened, whole big thing. Reporter showed up at my house. I ended up after demanding that they leave multiple times, and her cameraman refusing and kept advancing on me, I pulled a knife that I had been holding, had in a sheath on my belt, just pulled it out, showed it to him. And when she asked me, what she said, like for the umpteen time, that she just wanted to comment, I said, here's my comment, get off whatever, I, you know, get the Feinstein off my property. And then I put the knife away and went back to doing what I was doing. And then as I was mowing the lawn 20 minutes later, I was arrested. Yeah. And I'm actually still going through the court case now, 13 months. It's almost 13 months to the day.
How many times have you gone to court now?
Today was the 13th appearance since the arraignment. I've had to be at 12 of them.
Wow.
That in itself is insane, because fellow fiend Randy England, I've talked to him about this, and he said a couple of times to me, he's like, this is ridiculous, because, you know, and he's like, if you were in Missouri, he's like, you would have had to show up to the first, to the arraignment, and then you wouldn't have had to come back to the pretrial hearings.
Yeah, Randy's an attorney who
former
used to be
attorney.
A prosecutor.
He's retired
and former prosecutor. Yeah.
Yeah, he's retired, but he's like that's the job of the attorney. You pay us to show up, you don't have to. Not here in New York.
Did
though.
You
I'm
try my suggestion
appear.
Yet? My suggestion to you was to have your lawyer say to the DA, "Look, here's our offer. Drop it now, and he'll sign a piece of paper that says if he ever sets foot in New York State, you can put him in prison. Otherwise, it's done." Did you try that yet?
No,
and you're leaving anyway. That's what they isn't that what they want to be rid of you, or they want to keep you around and poke
no,
you?
No, they want to try to apparently they just want to try to continue to extort me as much as possible, because they've been delaying my leaving here. I mean, that's also played a fact. They've also it's been the county government that has been holding me up in the criminal matter, and then the selling of my house has been held up by the town government.
So did you sell it?
We've been under contract since like the beginning of March, and the buyers and everybody involved knew that I wanted to close by like the middle of April at the latest, because I needed to be out. Like, we had been running out of money because I had closed my business down, as you know, a couple months earlier than planned. I got in issues with my mom, who had been paying part of the rent, because she didn't have any property at one point, and she wanted to be able to build her credit. So it worked out, you know, that if she was willing to co-sign on the mortgage, that we would both benefit. So, like, you know, and once she dropped out, there was like no way I could afford, and I ended up going into debt to be able to afford all that. And the longer it got drawn out, like, we had everything set up with like just enough money to get us to the certain point. And then it was like, no, the town's going to delay us. With the third one, I think, or maybe the fourth, the third one, the judge said, or the fourth one, the judge said that she felt like she felt bad that I had shown up three times so far, and like nothing had happened. Again, yeah, because she could have dismissed this at any time, because they really don't have anything, but it's just insane. So here we are today. Yesterday was the 13th appearance. Or today, now it's yesterday, because now it's Thursday, but I haven't gotten to sleep yet, so it's the same day for me. But not only did I have to go to court, but I actually had to go to court twice, because I went on Tuesday, because last time I was in the courtroom on April 23rd, the judge said May 29th, and I walked out the door because my lawyer rushed me out the door because there was a whole bunch of things going on, and then he told me he would call me later, and then never did. And by the time I saw him a couple of weeks later and said to him, hey, the judge said May 29th, but I never heard whether it was morning or afternoon, and we never discussed it since. And he never corrected me and said, no, it's the 30th. Oh, so, man. I showed up on the 29th and ended up having to, you know, waste a couple hours of my day, which was not good when I'm trying to get packed up and stuff.
And they're going to hear this because they listen to this show, and they're going to know that you're in your car and go, oh, man, let's
stretch
this out more.
I'm not in my car yet.
Let's stretch this out more. But by the time they hear this, it will.
Oh, yeah, by the time they hear this. Well, though, whatever. I mean,
it's live, you know, until I put it on the web, on the website after this show goes live in an hour. Yeah.
No, that's what I meant.
It's live. Nod, nod, wink, wink. Oh, good morning, Belle Fouche. And good morning, Sundance. It's really, really good to be on the radio there. I dig it.
Yes, it is.
Did you know that on those two stations, when they don't have anything on their streaming service because it's like Major League Baseball or something that they're not allowed to stream, they play the Freedom Fiends all the time?
Nice.
I know.
Well, who is that we heard from? Was that like the program director?
Yeah.
Alexa. Somebody who is
She's
very,
awesome.
Big fan of what we do.
Yeah, she said that she actually told me that she was doing that because she thought that if everyone in America heard the Freedom Fiends once a week, the world would run correctly.
Whoa. That's some high praise.
That is, I don't even know if we deserve that praise, but that's pretty good.
I don't think so, but we'll take it.
I'll take it. Yeah. I think we're kind of, I think you'd have to hear us 5 or 6 times a week for the world to run correctly, but I'll take it.
Oh, man.
But hey,
Just
you have to listen to replays. You can listen to the same two shows.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of them. What are we up to? Like 1,500?
50, something? I'll 16? Check. I don't know.
I lost track. I turn on my torrenting thing every month or so.
Yay.
And I freak, you know.
You mining some torrents? It's like,
I mine my torrents.
You know, BitTorrent actually had something to do with the creation of Bitcoin, too. I forget what it is, but it's basically like 5 different technologies combined into something new in a different way that works in a way that's never been done before. Yeah. Well, the name is inspired by BitTorrent. It actually is. This is going to be episode 1,287.
Oh, okay. So almost 1,300. Nice.
Man.
Nice.
Yeah. How'd we do that, man?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know how you've done it, man. I've only been here for like 400 of them. I joined somewhere around 900.
Well, I haven't been on every one, but I've certainly been on more than you have, and I've been on since 2011. Man.
Yeah, but I may have done more than anybody else, even though I've been here less time.
Anybody except me. Yeah. Or
that's what I'm saying.
Actually,
yeah.
I think you've done more than Nima at this point. Because he left. When he left, we were only doing two shows a week. We were only doing two shows a week.
But he did two. Didn't he do at least 2 years of that?
Yeah.
I did that one stretch for 6 months where I was doing like 3 shows a week.
I liked it.
Nobody else was around.
That was thank you for your service.
Because, you know, what else did I have to do at night? I was like, whatever.
Well, thank you. I was kind of surprised that we're doing a show. I'm really happy about it. I, you know, had this whole cluster frack with...
Cluster Feinstein?
With this Feinsteining bull humor with Bill Gates.
Or there you go. Clinton Feinstein. There you go.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
That's a new one for the lexicon. There you go. You're welcome, Lou.
I don't get it.
Well,
okay.
You know, he has a Feinstein Schumer instead of cluster, just throw Clinton in there.
Oh, Clinton. I got it. Yeah.
Because she everything about her is a cluster.
A Clinton fark. Feinstein as fark. Well. Farking. Clinton. Fracking. Farking. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar. And their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with agoristhosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime? Or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agorist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to agoristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agoristhosting.com.
So what else is up with your many problems? What's new?
We've
caught everybody up on... You know,
yeah, so that's the history. Like I said, anyway,
there's no new information there except the number. You know, I think you gave that same wrap up a couple weeks ago, but it was like 11. You know, the only difference was like 11 appearances.
That was number 12.
Yeah, that was number 12.
Yeah, well, no, see, well, oh, yeah. So that's what happened at this one. So at the last one that I talked about with Randy, it was number 12. The next appearance, which was today, was supposed to be the judge's decision on the motion that my lawyer filed to have the knife suppressed because the idiot DA screwed up the paperwork, and. So that's what we were waiting on. And right before the court started, my lawyer said to me that it's interesting. He was kind of interesting. He thought it was interesting that he didn't get an email from the judge, because it usually happens that the judge sends out an email before to say the decision's already been made, you know, let them know what the decision is, so they're at least a little prepped. And, you know, he didn't hear from her. And first the DA wasn't even there, and then didn't end up showing up at all. which is fine, of course, and completely messed up, because if I hadn't shown up, it would have been held against me. Like, I would have either been in contempt, or I would have had a bench warrant put out for me.
Wow.
You know,
that's their goal. That's their final goal with things that aren't really a crime, you know, where there's no victim.
Yeah.
Is they want a bench warrant. They want you to have to, they want your house, basically.
Well, yeah. Well, they can't get that, because that'll be sold by 1 o'clock tomorrow.
Yay.
And
what if it's not?
Yeah. So
are you going to scream, freak out, break things?
I have said multiple times that, like, at this point, I may just be like, if something goes wrong and it's just going to fall through, like, literally at the last minute, I just may just, because everything's gone, it's almost empty anyway, I'll just finish emptying it out completely and just light a match and walk away.
You're kidding. I know you're kidding.
I know. That's how stressed, at this point, like, I'm like, what else am I supposed to do? Because I can't afford it. I'll end up getting evicted.
I know something that someone did sort of like that to a horrible landlord at one point, but the person was a junkie, so their idea of a horrible landlord is probably one that demands you pay the rent.
If it were for the fact that my neighbors are so close to me that there was definitely a chance at least one of their houses would end up catching from it, if the fire wasn't caught in time, that, you know, I might consider it. But
he's kidding. He's kidding, people.
No, it's out of the realm of possibility because of that factor.
Yeah. He's kidding.
Even if I was that mad, I would never take that chance.
So anyway, one of the guys in the band Flipper. Do you know the band Flipper?
I've heard of, never listened to.
Kind of invented grunge, but they're much more than that. Band in San Francisco, most of them were junkies. And one of them that I knew, Bruce Luce, was living in the apartment above the taco place on 16th in San Francisco between Mission and Valencia. You know the place if you're in San Francisco. It's, of course, a junkie'd live there. It's, you know, you only have to go 10 feet to get dinner, and you only have to go 12 feet to cop heroin. It's pretty conveniently located for a junkie. And he got evicted, and it takes a long time to evict somebody in San Francisco. And as he was leaving, some crazy black crack lady tried to, like, hustle him, like, "Hey, man, give me a dollar. I got to get to the doctor." And he's like, "I don't have any money, man." And then he had this thought. He's like, "But here, have an apartment." And he gave her the keys, and she moved in like 8 people, and then they had to evict them, and it took another 3 months. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Then I had the neighbors upstairs from me in San Francisco at 532 Divisadero. They lived at 534 Divisadero. This was we lived above a barber shop that was a crack house. My roommate got busted for buying pot on Haight Street. Here's the tip. Well, back, it's legal now, but I guess you're supposed to never buy pot from a deadhead that's really muscular and has a beer belly, because he's a cop with long hair, even though he's wearing a tie-dye. And he's too clean. Yeah, so that's a cop. So he's trying to buy pot. He got arrested. They just took him in and hassled him and did what they did to you, but not for as long, you know, for 2 or 3 things, and then put him on probation for 6 months or something. But I will never forget what he told me the cops said when they were questioning him, kind of like really half butt interrogating him. Like, you know, I think they were looking at the Sears menswear catalog while, you know, while not looking at him and asking him questions in the cop shop. And they said, "So where do you live? What's your name? Where do you live?" And he said his address, 532 Divisadero. And he goes, "Oh, between Grove and Hayes or whatever." And he's like, "Yeah." And he said, "Oh yeah, above that barber shop that people go in and out of all day and no one ever gets a haircut." Yeah.
Nice.
But that place has been turned into, like, I don't know, marijuana dispensary, and, you know, nice tax paying adults, and the stolen hubcap store next door is something else. But we had these neighbors upstairs, and one of them was a rave DJ who I don't remember his name, but he's big. He's somebody. It might be John Digweed, which is one of the funniest names ever. John Digweed. It's one of those. It was a British dude that was in San Francisco and was, like, always the top bill on all the flyers for all the, you know, warehouse shows I saw. And he was always touring and stuff. And he brought these people over from England with him that helped him, like, that were his roadies for his equipment, you know. And it was this couple that were skinny, horrible, rotten teeth hippies that wore tracksuits they never washed, that were addicted to injecting ketamine. And as someone who's dealt with veterinary medicine, you know what ketamine is, right? It's a dissociative hallucinogenic.
Oh, yeah. It's yeah. because of the knowing about veterinary medicine that I know about ketamine, absolutely.
Yeah. What, were you in the rave scene of Long Island in the 90s, or what did you say?
I was never a raver, but I did play with ketamine for a while.
Ew. Ew.
I had a friend who was a big... I never injected it, though.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Snorted it.
Yeah. Ugh. Drugs are horrible. Especially that drug, I imagine. I've never done it, but I saw them...
It was
I saw them trying to hit a vein for about an hour one day. That was pretty disgusting. But they... So the guy who was going places, the rave DJ, moved out and left those two people there. Like, gave up the lease... And those people were supposed to move out, and they didn't move out, and they squatted for 3 months, which is how long it took you then to evict you in San Francisco. I think it still does. And they moved in about 10 other people, and they had raves 24/7 for weeks at a time above us. My roommate, who was a welder by trade, took his welding equipment and his oxyacetylene torch and burned a pentagram in their door. Because he was mad at them one day. It's kind of funny. It looked like the devil was just walking by and pointed at it and went poof. And then they moved out, and it was like a day before they got evicted, they'd listed it and put up signs, and they rented it out to like five different people and took cash first and last and a month's, you know. So basically they got like $10,000 illegally renting it to like five different parties who all showed up the same day, and they made keys for them, and they all showed up the next day with their stuff to move in. These people were long gone, and you know, then, well, I think one of them moved in, and then the landlord came and had to evict them, and it took 3 months. So it's kind of like a virus, the amount of time it takes to evict in California, San Francisco.
I think it was like, it can take like the 6 months around here.
Maybe it was 6 months. I don't know. My sense of time in the 80s is not good.
I can understand that.
Speaking of time, so what else, what's new? What's new with your many problems? Yeah. And what's the redemption of where's the government play into this? And how can we feel better and live better?
Well, the government, the government's all over it. But anyway, to finish up. So basically, the DA didn't show up, which is okay. And the judge didn't make her decision. She waited till the last minute to tell my attorney she now wants his motion in writing. And the next court date is not till July 9th. And that's still not a trial. That's finally going to be the judge is going to make her decision sometime between June 20th, when she needs to have my lawyer's motion in, and July 9th. And then on July 9th, we're getting turned over to a new judge, because this case has gone on for so long, because at that point we'll be at like 14 months. So now they're switching, like they've already switched DAs, I think, three times.
Wow.
Now they're switching judges again.
Oh, man.
But they're switching judges. And it's just like, you know, I mean, my lawyer said this guy does usually just throw things to trial right away. But still, it's like, who knows when they're actually going to set the trial for. At the very, you know, the very earliest, I'm thinking like maybe the end of July, the trial will finally happen.
Have you been offered any alternative to trial?
They've offered the same plea deal every time.
What?
For months on end, after dodging offering one for months and making us go over and over again for no reason. The only deal they've offered is community service, an undisclosed number so far. They have not told me what the amount of community service would be. Anger management courses. There's one other thing, and an undisclosed amount of fines. And I have to plead to a disorder. You know, they wanted me to plead to something, whatever it was, disorderly conduct or something like that. So number one, me pleading to anything I didn't do, big problem for me. Community service, I have no problem with community service, and even as a punishment, okay, fine. But I found out that you actually have to pay for it. Like, I have to pay for it. They charge you a fee per hour that whatever it is that you have to pay. So it's not just giving away your labor for free, it's paying to give your labor away. It's insane.
Wow.
The anger management courses, I think, of course, are ridiculous. Like, again, stupid BS that you could probably just sit through and be like, whatever. But I have to pay for that, too.
Probably a YouTube video that would teach you more about it anyway.
Yeah, it's just, it's so ridiculous. So like every part of it, I'm just like, no, like every part of this is not so. And the fact that the it's an undisclosed so far amount of fines.
It's your too. House.
It's like plus,
it's
plus
your house. Surchar- they no, want your house.
No, no, plus surcharges on top of those fines. They just want money. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah,
they
want money. They want you to sell your house and give them what you make.
No, they don't. They don't care about that. They just, this is what, how they treat certain people. They just want to make, you know, they, that's what they want to do. They've just been able to drag it out even longer with me. And
I'm kind of kidding, now, but I'm kind of serious. I kind of think that what the government wants to do is trap everybody. Every government wants to do is trap people in some meaningless non-crime with no victim, and then bleed them dry. Take the only assets they have, which in your case is whatever, you know, you make on your house sale.
Well, no, they can't even get that much from me. I like that. That would like even that falls under cruel and unusual in their standards. But whatchamacallit, there's still a chance that the judge's decision could be in our favor, which would mean the DA would be like, my lawyer even said we'd be in an excellent position if that happens, because then they literally have nothing with but the video of the interaction between the reporter and the cameraman and me. But the only thing anybody so far to this point has seen is the video clip that played on the news. I believe.
Which is edited. Did you explain that?
Oh, of course. It's completely edited.
Did you explain how they edited it?
Well, yeah, they showed up at my doorstep and the news story starts, and the first clip they jump to, like they're talking about it, and the first clip they jump to is the news reporter knocking at my door and nobody answering. And then they go back to talking about it a little bit more, and then the very next clip they jump to is them at my garage, which is physically impossible for it to happen in the amount of time they tried to play it off that it happened. Like they literally would have had to have teleported from the front of my house to 10 feet in front of my garage in that amount of time. It's impossible. And yeah,
that's not so the big sin though of what they did. What they did, I'll explain really quickly and simply.
But it's even
they
go ahead.
The clip shows her saying, "Do you have a comment?" And then you pulling a knife and saying, "This is my comment. Get off my property." But they edited out the two or three times in between that when you said, "Get off my property," without pulling a knife. So you told them to leave. They didn't.
Oh, I demanded they leave.
They
didn't. I demanded they leave three times that fourth interaction. So,
okay,
yeah,
they cut out three times of you saying, "Leave my property." So they made you look nuts and dangerous,
yep.
Whereas you really were just kind of rash in defending your property.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that was it.
Yeah.
And I'm positive that the cops on the scene, because the cops on the scene were able to, they showed them something. I'm pretty sure they showed her, not that they couldn't have possibly showed him the news clip because that hadn't been produced yet, but I'm pretty sure they showed the cops and edit what they, because they had at least 20 minutes to edit the video before the cops showed up.
News people could edit a lot in 20 minutes. They could definitely have done
it. Oh, absolutely.
They did in 5 minutes. That's what they do. That's all news people do is edit, basically.
Yeah, and they had at least 20 minutes, which of course, you know, I've maintained the entire time led me to believe that they waited to call the cops. You know, just to make sure that first they sat in the car and checked to see what they had on video,
or even
and then
even
they
if
saw
they,
what they could edit.
Even if they didn't edit it, even if they just queued it up to where, you know, the last part of that and showed it, that would satisfy the cops, because the cops believe that news people are generally impeccably, you know, on their side, and they usually are. You know, it's
pretty much every one of the cops I interact with told me that they actually despise that particular news organization.
Oh, that news organization. But in general, local news that doesn't, you know, go after the cops and do, you know, like tonight, dirty cops in our town. Like, you know, if they don't do that kind of stuff. This is what Nima Vedati told me, who's worked at three different agencies around the country, three different, you know, TV news agencies where he was on camera and out in the field collecting the news and editing it. That was one of the reasons it was such a great pleasure to do, one of the many reasons it was a great pleasure to do the movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom with Nima Vedati, was while he'd never made a film, he was incredibly quick and good at editing. He would just sit down and go, and have something, you know. So
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms.
Yeah. Well, put it this way, it's a lot of people think that there's a vast conspiracy of, like, you know, the news and the cops all speak to the same master. It's not like that. It's more like the cops say, you want access? Yes. The news people say yes. And then the cops say, well, paint us in a good light. And yep. It's literally that, you know, it's do what we say and we'll give you access. Otherwise, all you're going to get is, here's the phone number of our public information person, and yep. He's not going to return your calls. So,
yeah, pretty much.
So basically, they become the mouthpiece for the cops. So even if they don't like that particular person, put it this way, I'll bet they'd believe them over you.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
So
will a jury. I'm kind of worried if you go to a jury trial. I don't know that this is going to be the best choice. I mean, I know that there's the thing of, like, never take the plea. I'm not going to admit to something I didn't do, you know, that kind of thing. But it's like, yeah. I don't know how good your chances are with a state picked jury, man, with them. Have they even let you described the entire video in court yet?
No, we haven't. We haven't even gotten past the pretrial hearing.
Jeez, man. Wow.
So, like, literally, virtually nothing has happened at almost every one of the appearances.
You know, that's got to be intentional. It's so ridiculous. I mean,
well, yeah, it's definitely intentional by the DA because
things get done quicker. DA, I mean, when something that's really newsworthy, not you, but something, I mean, that did make national news.
Something that's super newsworthy, or when somebody who's a severe threat.
Yeah,
somebody who's an actual threat
you know,
to society.
Like when. You know, when the shoe bomber is in court the next day, and then, like, the next court appearance is really quick, and then he's in prison, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, but, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Exactly. So I'm clearly not a threat or anything like that.
They just want to wear you down.
I'm allowed to walk free. I'm allowed to leave the state. I just have to be back for my court appearances. You know, but so whatever. So the judge is basically punting by saying she wants my lawyer to come up with this motion in writing, and then she's passing it off to another judge, and then maybe we'll finally get the trial, and who knows? And depending, we can't know anything until she makes her decision. So basically, more waiting for me. But the good, you know, you wanted good news. All right. Well,
yeah.
since the next date isn't until July 9th, that means that my family and I can definitely go to the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest.
Okay.
Which, we had tickets for, and, you know, so we'll get to go hang out with Lou and Randy and Diana and young, not so young anymore. Nick, will all be there. Shane Radliff too. And Shane Buell. So, whole bunch of Feenies.
Wow.
And former Feenies all going to be there at the same time. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Oh,
nice.
And James Week will probably be there too. So it'll
be a bunch of ex Feens too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Ex Feens, current Feens.
Hey, if you see, if he's wearing the shirt I gave him, try to get a good picture of it for me. I got him a shirt that says that he says he came up with this, but I came up with it independently. But I got him a shirt, you know, kind of like, all right, don't sue me in Libertarian People's Court. Not that he would, but he says he came up with this statement of, it says, I'm not fat, I'm just prepping for the apocalypse. And it's a picture of a really plump cat. That's really cute. So yeah, if you see him in that shirt, will you try to get a good picture that I can use?
Like, I will do my best
to sell shirts. Yeah. I have shirts.
I will.
People should buy shirts. We have great shirts.
I've seen.
Go on, Google Bipcot shirts. Bip, like you bet your sweet bippy, and cot, like what you sleep on in jail if you lose your court trial. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm gonna, I, for anybody out there who's listening and saying, oh, Michael's not a real libertarian. He's not a real no government man. He's telling him to take the plea. First of all, I didn't tell you to take the plea. I just said, I don't know if it's such a good idea to have your day in court. Let me finish. Because anybody who thinks that I'm not pure because I suggested maybe not, you know, maybe taking a plea or trying to get a different plea or something. Anybody who's never been in that situation can't really speak. I'm not going to listen to what they have to say, you know, unless somebody's faced prison and, well, probably jail, faced jail, you know, months of jail time or more. And, you know, unless you've faced that opportunity and not taken the plea and had your day in court, then I don't care what you have to say. Not you, Jeremy, them, the little people out in radio land. I'm kidding. They're all great. They're wonderful. Most of them. They're great now that we're not on at night. The people that are up listening at night are all sociopaths and alcoholics. I'm kidding.
Oh, man.
What time is it where you are now?
It is just about 5 a.m. Yeah, I'm probably going to have to crash out for a little while soon.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you go.
But
any closing redemption?
Well, yeah. Well, like I said, the redemption is like my family and I get to go to the fest. And even though it's going to be... It's going to be a learning experience. There's going to be a huge learning curve here. But Murder Dog and I are going to be living out of my car for a while, which it may sound bad, but it's actually we're trying to turn it into an adventure and trying to test out this thing called van nomadism, kind of trying to do a quasi version of that and see how much
can you get arrested for that.
There are ways I can. Yes.
Yeah. San Francisco will arrest people for that.
There's just you have to be careful where you park. And worst case scenario, I have camping gear, so I'm bringing that with me too. Yeah. So
anybody who lives in the greater Long Island area that would let a freedom fiend park in his driveway or park.
Yeah, that's actually the best thing. Like people, like I did have a couple of people reach out to me today, like old friends I hadn't heard from in a while. It was kind of nice. They're like trying to figure out ways to help me. I'm like, actually, that's probably the best way. If I could just park in your driveway. Yeah. I'm cool. That's golden because I have all the, like, we have the car, we have my little Honda Element set up that Murder Dog and I can sleep in it. And, you know, I got the car carrier on top. So we got plenty of stuff stored up there. So we don't, you know, we have a decent amount of room inside of there for us to at least sleep and stuff. You know, even hang out if the weather is inclement. As long as you can give me a place to stay. I got the blackout curtains. I'm fine. That way I won't be hassled by the cops.
So how would they contact you if they want to help you out with that? And how far would you be willing to go to do that from Long Island?
As long as I can get, but you know, you're probably within an hour because I don't really want to go out all the way to Montauk, which can be almost 2 hours. Not that I mind it out there, but I need to be at least somewhat close to my kids because as it is, I don't get to see them as much anymore because we're living separately again in order to save money. And, you know, because they get a free place, which I'm not allowed to stay at.
Now, were you not allowed to stay there before all this kerfluffle with the government, or is this because of that?
Oh, yeah. Her parents and my history goes back way before this.
Nice.
Because they're the ones who had, I've talked about this on the show before, they're the ones who called the cops on me twice before they sent me up when I came over to see my kids when Jen and I were split up separated for a couple of years. They set me up by her. She invited me over to see the kids, and then they set me up by sticking the cops on me twice.
Was she in on it? She wasn't in on it.
No, she wasn't in on it. No.
They didn't. Oh, man. They're horrible.
But her ex-dad cop still has, you know, mental control over her to a certain extent.
Ugh, man. People.
Not anymore. She did at the time. So, like, you know.
So if anybody has a problem with people having a mental hold on them, I'd recommend that you check out a book I wrote called A User's Manual for the Human Experience. It's on Amazon. Very inexpensive Kindle version. There's also a moderately priced but slightly more expensive paperback version. And I think there's audible.com has a, what's it called, where you speak and then people
audiobook.
Listen. Yeah, an audiobook that's narrated by, what's that guy's name? Oh, me. Yeah. All right, man.
Nice.
We had a great time.
All right, man. So anyway, that's the happy news. Is we're gonna Murder Dog and I are gonna make it an adventure, and you know, we're gonna be doing daily videos on it too, and trying to make a little money that way on Steam.
So how do people contact you if they want you to crash in their yard or in their driveway?
Most people can message. You know, you can message me on Facebook. I'm not on there as much anymore, but I do check it at least once a day.
If you're not on Facebook, but you have email, I can get a message to him. Yeah. Bipcot@gmail.com. That's Bravo India Papa Charlie October Tango Bip. Cot, I'm sorry, no, Bipcoin. I said it wrong, man. Bipcoin. I have so many bips, so many things with bip. Bipcot, Bipcoin, Biptunia, Bipcoin, Bravo, India, Papa, and then coin. It's like Bitcoin, but with a P instead of a T. Bipcoin@gmail.com. Send me an email.
I'm going to start a new, you know what? I'm going to start a new email this. And I'm going to start bipcorn.com.
Bipcorn.com. That was a funny. Yeah, I heard that.
I've been listening to you.
Yeah. Speaking of listening to each other's shows. Yeah. We're not going to do a live show from the Michigan Peace and Liberty Fest. Nope.
I didn't think we could do a live. Like we're going to record one.
Yeah. 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 And then, if I like it, it'll be on The Fiends. And if not, it'll be on one of your 7 podcasts or both.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it'll be. Well, I'm actually going to have all the good equipment, you know, that I have.
I mean, if it's Fiends, there's no cussing and the audio is passable. You know, it's a Fiends. We don't have to bring up what happened, the unpleasantness. Yes. We can just say it's been a wonderful time.
Yeah, I need to go to bed.
And worms. Thank you for your service. Bye.
The 6th Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan, just outside of Kalamazoo, from Thursday, June 21st through Monday, June 25th. There will be all sorts of activities in a family and adult-friendly environment. Scheduled speakers include Dana Martin, Brett Vanat, Prof. CJ, and Scott Horton. Round up your friends and family members and get them registered today at mplfest.org. That's Mike, Papa, Lima, Fest. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
Biptunia, music for the drive to Alpha Centauri. Biptunia's influences are Gary Numan, Brian Eno, Pink Floyd, David Bowie, Led Zeppelin, Grateful Dead, Frank Zappa, Robert Fripp, Blondie, Kraftwerk, and Dead Kennedys. Biptunia styles are trip-hop, rock, pop, glam, industrial, ambient, jazz, and space. Plus, it's got cats and is covered by the Bipcot NoGov license. You can download Biptunia's music free. Go to biptunia.com. That's B-I-P-T-U-N-I-A. Bravo, India, Papa, Tango, Uniform, November, India, Alpha. Biptunia.com.